It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, the U.S. Supreme Court has blocked Wisconsin's voter ID law from being implemented for the upcoming election. We'll hear why.
First, it's Food Friday, and we've got a cooking star with us to share some great recipes and cooking advice. Jack Bishop is the editorial director at America's Test Kitchen. They've just released a massive new book. It's called The New Family Cookbook. And Jack's coming to Wisconsin later this month. He'll be in Milwaukee on Thursday, October 23rd for an event at Boswell Books at 7 p.m. and in Kohler on Friday, October 24th for the Kohler Weekend.
And speaking of food, if you pledge any amount this hour, ask for your recipe thank you gift. We've got six great recipes from Food Friday guests to share with you, from apple bacon coffee cake to oven roasted pumpkin. Yours with a pledge of any amount now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jack Bishop joins us now. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty well, thanks. Well, this new family cookbook, it updates one of the flagships of the America's Test Kitchen line. What kinds of things did you want to bring up to date?
First of all, you know, we keep on experimenting in the Test Kitchen. We have 40 people working in a 2,500-square-foot kitchen who are cooking all day, every day. And this book was first published almost a decade ago. And I'd like to think we've learned something in the last decade from at least we've eaten a lot of food. And we wanted to share all of those new tips and secrets. Also, cooking has changed. A lot more vegetables, a lot more vegetarian dishes, a lot more international food. I think as a nation, we are becoming more adventurous in the kitchen, and we wanted the book to really reflect that as well.
Now, among the many hats you wear, you are the tasting lab expert for America's Test Kitchen. How do you know if what you're tasting is ready to go, ready to put into print?
Well, the secret is to get consensus with a large panel. And so, you know, if you and I tasted something, I might love it and you might hate it, or vice versa. And I'm not sure what you learn from that other than you learn what you like and I learn what I like. But if you get 25 people to taste, let's say, eight brands of chocolate, and one brand is a consistent favorite with the large majority of people who are tasting, then that's a pretty solid recommendation you can make to somebody else by saying a tasting panel with 25 experts chose this as their top-rated chocolate. And that's really the power of what we do. It isn't so much one person saying, you know, I love this brand of chocolate. It's a blind taste test, all the brands. We not only taste things right out of the package, but we cook with them, because that's really what matters. When you make brownies with that chocolate, how good are the brownies? And then make those recommendations to our fans.
Even with, you know, a crop of 40 seasoned, I'm assuming, very good cooks, do you still taste some bombs along with all the other delicious stuff that you taste?
Surprising amount. I mean, now we purposely make some mistakes. You know, we think, well, what's going to happen to somebody when they take our recipe? What are the things they're likely going to try at home? Because we know that people don't always follow recipes. And so sometimes, you know, we think it's going to be a problem and it's not. So we'll make a recipe that calls for butter and we'll put oil in it and see how it comes out. Or we'll use skim milk rather than whole milk. And that's often the kind of thing we'll write about in our recipes. And we'll say, okay, here are the things you're okay to change. And these are the things you absolutely, please, please, please do not change these details of the recipe.
And you start pretty much every recipe with an explanation of, quote, why this recipe works. Why is that important? Why is that helpful to the home cook?
I think that the number one thing we're trying to do is to teach people to be better cooks. And sure, giving them a recipe that is successful is a good start. But I think what we really want to do is get people to have a deeper understanding of cooking. You know, we've sort of lost a lot of information in the last generation or two, as a lot of people really sort of didn't grow up in a home where there was a lot of cooking. And so we feel like it's our job not only to provide good information about recipes, but to really explain techniques so that you can become a better cook, whether or not you're using one of our recipes.
Now, this is billed as a family cookbook. What does it take to make a really great family recipe?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't be too complicated. You know, most family cooking, by definition, is supposed to be relatively straightforward. You know, this is not restaurant cooking with seven components on the plate and 2 days of cooking. This is solid, all-American cooking. You know, and I think you want something that's appealing to everyone. And so, you know, there's a lot of American classics, you know, meatloaf, mashed potato, apple pie, brownies. It's hard to go wrong with those things. But, you know, families are changing, and so they also want roast squash recipes or things to do with fish, interesting ways to prepare broccoli. And so we really tried to think about all the different things you do during the course of the week or during the course of the year and put all that into one big book with, I think, 1,300 recipes in total.
And, Jack, I understand one of your talks in Wisconsin will be on the subject, a very timely subject, of comfort foods. What does comfort food mean to you?
Comfort food means, first of all, that it's utterly delicious. You know, it has to be something that's super satisfying. And so often that's something a little creamy, something with some richness to it. It can be something that has some nostalgia, you know, go back to your childhood. But it doesn't need to be utterly straightforward. It can be an update of a dish. You know, sometimes something comforting that you see in a slightly new way is really interesting. And so it's a mix of stews, macaroni and cheese, baked ziti. That kind of stuff is obviously really, really comforting, sort of classic American desserts. You know, what's more comforting than a warm chocolate chip cookie after a hard day at work or a hard day at school?
Can you give us an example of one that maybe you'll be cooking in Kohler, a great comfort food recipe, maybe that's got a new twist or a secret that you found out at America's Test Kitchen?
Yeah, I think a great example, one we're doing up in Kohler in a couple of weeks, is chicken stew. You know, you say stew and everybody thinks beef stew because they're like, oh, chicken, it's not going to have that much flavor, is it? And we re-engineered a classic American stew to build a tremendous amount of chicken flavor into the dish. And so first thing is to use thigh meat. Thigh meat is the best part of the bird when it comes to stewing. White meat is great for lots of things, but it really doesn't withstand, you know, hours and hours of braising time. We looked for ingredients that could ramp up the flavor. So we kind of threw some chicken wings, which are really fairly inexpensive, to build a quick broth. Add some things that have meaty notes. We love to use tomato paste and soy sauce in the test kitchen because they make everything taste more savory and more delicious. And it's a really great all-American recipe. It's a little lighter, which I think people look, or, you know, we want more things to do with chicken. But it's utterly comforting, and you can serve it over noodles or over mashed potatoes, and it is a stew that everyone will love.
You, Jack, solved the problem with my last chicken stew. It was all right. It was boneless, skinless chicken breast. That's where I went wrong, huh?
Yeah, you know, they're great for sautéing, but, you know, a stew means that it's got to simmer for a significant period of time, and you really need some something with some fat in it. That's why, you know, chuck meat from the beef shoulder is the classic choice for beef stew. And if you're going to make a chicken stew, you really want to use, I think the chicken thighs are the perfect choice for that dish.
Right now, we're talking with Jack Bishop of America's Test Kitchen. Their latest project is the new family cookbook.
And you can call in with your cooking questions or your favorite comfort food, especially now that fall is well and truly here. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email talk@WPR.org.
We'll continue that conversation in a few minutes. But first, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive.
And Cheryl Gasser joins us here in the studio to remind you that listeners provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, last hour we heard from 46 members. It is so great to see such strong support on this last weekday of our fall membership drive. Thank you for your pledge of support. And now on this, the final day for Central Time, we have a new goal for this 3 o'clock hour. We're looking for 23 pledges.
We're off to a great start to 7 pledges toward that goal already. Thank you for getting us off to a good start. If you haven't yet, you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount will automatically enter you in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Help us meet this goal and get entered into the drawing by making your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here on the Ideas Network, you hear substantial topics. Because you want more than just a headline, we go in depth here on Central Time on the issues that matter to you. Later this hour, we'll be talking about the Supreme Court ruling on voter ID. And it's also important to step back and have fun once in a while, like we do here on Food Friday, talking about family-friendly recipes and comfort foods. Make your donation in support of the great variety here on Central Time. The programming you count on is here thanks to listener support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to Wisconsin Public Radio to support the programs. As an added incentive, we have something special right now, a collection of hand-picked recipes, six recipes from our Food Friday segment, yours when you pledge any amount. A variety of things here. There's bun mi, those Vietnamese sandwiches. Andrea Nguyen gave us one for this, a pear chai. That's really timely, especially if you can get some local pears or Midwestern pears to make that. That, other recipes too, yours for a pledge of any amount now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bonjour, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, encouraging you to join me on a trip to France. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from. But of course, I hope you'll choose France. We'll tour Paris, Normandy, and Brittany in May. We'll sample wine, cheese, and pastries, and we'll walk through beautiful villages steeped in history. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bonne chance et à bientôt.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. At Central Time, Cheryl Gasser joins us in here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And everyone who pledges this drive, pledges right now, will be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose maybe the Rhine River or Alaska or France. I hear they get pretty good food over there in France. Mm-hmm. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or by making a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been around a long time because we're committed to quality. And that quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join Karen in Richmond, Illinois, who says, I'm donating because I listen 3 to 5 times a week and I enjoy the programs. Thank you so much, Karen. We hope you're enjoying Central Time. How about joining Karen with your pledge of support? And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or credit card.
Many people give $5 or $10 or $15 a month, but you get to choose whatever amount is right for you. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Seize the day. Take this moment to pledge right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have that great feeling of supporting the programs you love. Join, renew, or make even an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 23 pledges by 4 o'clock this morning. Help out now with your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a couple little extra added incentives. You will get entered when you pledge in that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip and ask for the Food Friday recipe collection, 6 recipes from Food Friday guests over the last few months. They've offered those up to help give you an incentive to make a pledge now. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Recipes like Lori Skelton's apple bacon coffee cake.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. And these are the great discussions, the great recipes that you hear on Food Friday each Friday here on Central Time. Make a pledge in support of everything you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. Jack Bishop is with us. He's editorial director at America's Test Kitchen. We're talking about, among other things, the new family cookbook. That's their new version of their really big, intensive cookbook.
And Jack, I know one of the recipes in there might not be a comfort food for everybody, but it is intriguing and it's gotten some attention. Cuban rice and beans. Can you tell us anything about that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is the great thing about having almost 900 pages in a book, is that you can put everyone's comfort food in here. And that certainly for people from Cuba or from the Caribbean, you know, you say comfort food and most of them will think rice and beans. And, you know, I love this recipe because it's a perfect example of why we wanted to go back and do the book over again and update it, because we wanted to be able to include recipes like this. And there's so much confusion, especially about the best way to, you know, to cook beans. People get so confused about canned versus dried, you know, should they be soaking them? And we explain all of that. And, you know, we really love to actually brine beans, believe it or not, in the test kitchen.
Brine beans. Wait, how do you brine things again? You soak it in some flavored liquid?
In salt water.
Salt water.
You know, it's a classic preparation for chicken or for turkey to make it juicier. So brine just means it always has salt. It can have sugar, it can have garlic and other flavors, but the key ingredient is the salt. And in this case, what the salt does is it prevents the beans from bursting, and so that those skins become more elastic. The bean can expand as it cooks, but it doesn't burst, and so you don't get that starchiness you can get if you cook a pot of dried beans and the skins all rupture. Then you get a very sort of pasty, sticky mess. And so this prevents that simply by soaking them like you normally would, but adding some salt to that soaking liquid.
And we've got a link to that Cuban rice and beans recipe over at the Central Time Facebook page. Well, one thing that I like about the cookbook, Jack, is that you kind of take nothing for granted and start at square one with things like equipment and basic techniques. What is a piece of a kitchen equipment that we shouldn't go without in our kitchen?
Well, you know, there's the obvious stuff, like you need a really good chef's knife and you need a really good cutting board. But I think it's sometimes the less obvious stuff that can really make your life easier in the kitchen. The difference between a good vegetable peeler and a bad vegetable peeler is the difference between a happy Thanksgiving and a not-so-happy Thanksgiving. You think about apples and potatoes, and if you've got a crowd coming like I always do, it means you've got an awful lot of peeling ahead of you. And so you want two things: a super sharp blade and a comfortable handle, because if you're going to do 10 pounds of potatoes and apples, you want that handle to be really comfortable. And so that's the kind of thing we'll test. I think we tested 25 different brands of vegetable peelers before we came up with the brand that we thought had the ideal combination of what you want in your vegetable peeler.
Wow. Well, what is the brand?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it is a Y-shaped peeler by a company called Kuhn Rikon, K-U-H-N Rikon, R-I-K-O-N. And it's sort of shaped like a Y, and the blade spans across the top of it. And it's super sharp, and things don't get stuck in it because the blade is not so close to the peeler. And you've seen them in stores. This peeler costs $3.50. It's not an expensive peeler, but it is better than that metal peeler with the metal handle that my mother had. And let me tell you, it was not that sharp and it wasn't that comfortable.
Well, who knew? I guess you guys knew, which is why you're here. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about meat and potatoes in terms of comfort food, because, you know, traditional American cooking is certainly the last couple of decades. That's what most people's minds go to when it goes to comfort food. Is there a case to be made that vegetarian food and veggies are comfort food, too?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very subjective thing, is that anything can be comforting, first of all, if it's something you like, and second of all, if it's well made. And so, you know, in my house at home, we probably eat vegetarian four or five nights a week. And there are things like bean dishes. We make a black bean, brown rice bowl that my kids consider that comfort food because I've made it so many times. The other thing my kids would consider comfort food is pork tostadas. When it's a birthday or something special, that's the food they want. And so, you know, I think you make your own traditions within your family about what is family food and what is comfort food. And part of it is finding dishes you love and making them over and over again.
You mentioned earlier that the new version of the Family Cookbook has more focus on vegetables and vegetarian cooking, given, you know, the rise in popularity. What's something that you're excited about that is new in the cookbook?
Well, I think just the A to Z vegetable section is really exciting because I think, you know, I get asked all the time by people when I meet them, you know, I'm looking for new ways or interesting ways to cook familiar vegetables. And so, you know, if you've never roasted broccoli in the oven and you think, you know, broccoli has to be steamed or boiled, roasted broccoli is a revelation. Even picky children, and I have some of them living in my house, will love it because, you know, it gets sweeter. Frankly, any vegetable is better roasted than boiled as far as I'm concerned because you're adding flavor through the browning as opposed to when you're boiling it, you're not adding a whole lot of flavor. So roasted broccoli, roasted cauliflower, even roasted Brussels sprouts. I know they're coming up for Thanksgiving. It's the best way to cook them.
Now, since we're on this comfort food focus, personally, Jack, I mean, you must taste hundreds of recipes a year, but what to you really is a comfort food? You've had a rotten day, it's raining outside, your tire got a flat, what do you want to eat?
I grew up with an Italian-American grandmother, and so I want pasta. And one of my favorite recipes the Test Kitchen has developed is something that my grandmother used to make that was frankly too complicated for me to want to make, which is baked manicotti. You know, you fill those pasta tubes with a you know, ricotta and herb filling. And we discovered that we could make this dish without that fussy filling process by using no-boil lasagna noodles. So we soak the noodles in a little hot water for 5 minutes, and then we can line them with that ricotta filling, and we roll them up. We're basically creating manicotti shells, but we don't need a pastry bag to be piping the filling into boiled shells, which is how you make the dish traditionally. And then roll them up, put them in a tomato sauce in a casserole dish. You put, you know, it's got basil and garlic and tomatoes. It's just absolute comfort food as far as I'm concerned.
That sounds fantastic. Jack, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, guys.
That's Jack Bishop. He's editorial director at America's Test Kitchen. The new book from them is The New Family Cookbook.
Jack will be in Milwaukee on Thursday, October 23rd for an event at Boswell Books at 7 o'clock in the evening, and in Kohler on Friday, October 24th for the Kohler weekend events.
Coming up after the news, Wisconsin and Texas, two states with some of the strictest voter ID laws, will not be able to implement them this November as a result of two different court decisions released last night.
And don't forget, you can support conversations like this one with your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552.
And ask for your copy of the Central Time Food Friday recipes with a pledge of any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up with 3.5 weeks left before our midterm elections, there's been a new twist in Wisconsin's voter ID saga. Last night, the U.S. Supreme Court blocked the law from being implemented this November. We'll talk about that coming up.
Right now, I'm Veronica Rickert with Cheryl Gasser, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. This drive is a time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Veronica, we're looking for 23 pledges by 4 o'clock today in support of Wisconsin Public Radio and Central Time and all that you love here on the Ideas Network. Pledge your support for this great programming, but there are so many reasons to give. Here is another one.
Pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France.
If you've already given, thank you so much. And if you haven't, help us stay on track during this final weekday of the drive. Get entered in the drawing and make your contribution right now at WPR.org. You know, Central Time is a great example of the innovation and creativity here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica and Rob do an incredible job every single day of bringing you a great mix of topics, great guests from Wisconsin and beyond. You're just not going to get a show like this anywhere else on your radio. And it's possible, pledge by pledge, only here on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So give now in support of Central Time and all that Rob and Veronica and the Central Time team bring to you between 3 and 6. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you get a collection of hand-picked Food Friday recipes for your pledge of any amount. That's our thank you gift to you. We have Lori Skelton's apple bacon coffee cake going on that list. Also from a segment we did on banh mi, the Vietnamese street sandwiches, which as I made some of them myself, they were so tasty. We've got a recipe for Vietnamese daikon and carrot pickle, also pear chai. Lots of great recipes on that list. Our thank you gift to you with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get unbiased news, high-quality entertainment, informative talk, and great music. You get a rich experience no matter when you tune in.
This depth and breadth is possible thanks to listener contributions. Make yours now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Phone calls, emails, that deadline. Ah, and I have that meeting in half an hour. Ugh. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they call on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Veronica Rickert here with Cheryl Gasser. We're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 a month or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from Wisconsin Public Radio by making a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month or more. Your gift of $1,200 or more for the year provides an important piece of funding for the programs we all rely on.
Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, I'll pledge next time, but this is it, the last weekday, the last chance to pledge for Central Time here during this drive. So today, it's your last chance. Show your support during this membership drive.
Don't delay. Join the community of people who come together to make great radio. Be part of that with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Veronica, we're doing amazingly well toward our goal of 23 pledges. Just four more pledges to go. We're going to make this goal and we're going to go past it. Let's see how many pledges we can get in support of Central Time on this final Friday of our pledge drive. Help out now with your pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets to go on a WPR trip. And sustainers, don't worry, you're automatically entered.
And don't forget, too, to ask for the Food Friday recipe collection with your pledge of any amount. They include a recipe for a raw apple cake from WPR's assistant news director, Noah Ovshinsky, and he is also an amazing foodie. We've got a recipe from our own Lori Skelton, apple bacon coffee cake, some really wonderful apple recipes on this list, but so many other delicious things to try, and that is a thank you gift for your pledge of any amount during this hour of Central Time. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And why don't you join Dennis from Cedarburg, who says, after being away for 2 weeks, I realized how much I miss WPR. Or Nathan from Rushford, Minnesota, who says, as a journalist, I believe that quality journalism costs money and have no problem paying for a resource I use daily. A couple of great reasons to pledge. Think about what your reason is and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to Central Time every afternoon. You've been meaning to pledge all week. We would love to hear from you now. This is your last chance during Central Time to make a pledge of support today on this final Friday. We'd love to hear from you with a pledge of any support, any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a mother of two shares the lessons she and her family learned by taking up backyard beekeeping.
First, Wisconsin's three-year-old voter ID saga took another twist last night when the U.S. Supreme Court blocked the law from being implemented during this November's elections.
That means that as the law stands, Wisconsin residents will not need a photo ID to vote on November 4th. Wisconsin's Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has said he will continue to try to implement the law during the next 3.5 weeks.
Wisconsin's voter ID law was upheld by the 7th District Court in Chicago 4 weeks ago today in a decision that took less than a day of deliberation. They also later approved it as constitutional. Also last night, a federal judge in Texas overturned that state's new voter ID law. Here to break down how these decisions were made and what's next is Central Times legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King. She's an assistant professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back so soon.
No worries. Glad to be back. And for all of you listening out there, support public radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, the courts are keeping us busy here. And I should point out, on the air a few weeks back, you predicted that the U.S. Supreme Court would block Wisconsin's law being implemented. What made you think that? Correctly,
well,
as it turns out.
It's partly understand that it's a function of the timing and also the level of the right involved. Voting is considered to be a fundamental right. And the closer you get to the election day, and if there is concern that fundamental rights are going to be denied, the more closely the court is going to scrutinize what exactly is going down.
So that was the reason for this stay, though they didn't explain it in their one-page decision. They didn't actually spell out what you just did, I don't think.
No, they're not, because one of the other things is that I think the court here is being a little reluctant in making a rush to judgment. Recall that the court has had a couple of instances in the past with prior precedent to consider the voting rights law and whether or not ultimately the voter ID laws are upheld or ultimately struck down. That hasn't been resolved just yet. The question in both the Texas case and the Wisconsin case is, can you put them in place so close to an election? And both out of Texas and in Wisconsin, the courts have said, not just yet.
So the ultimate decision isn't made, but some people are looking at this U.S. Supreme Court decision staying the law or removing the stay. I've lost track. It won't be in effect.
Removing the stay. That's correct.
Thank you. But they've looked at this decision as saying, hey, this means the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court might take this up, the constitutionality of this particular voter ID law. They might take it up in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And remember that to all those people who are rushing to declare a victory against voter ID laws, not so fast. I want to refer you back to a decision in Crawford versus Marion County Election Board. It's a 2008 decision in which you saw a plurality opinion. And all a plurality opinion means is that the court is badly divided. And you had three different blocks of three justices looking at a voter ID law in the Seventh Circuit involving y'all out of Indiana. And three of the justices that are sort of more moderate and swing voters on the bench aligned with three more conservative justices on the bench to say that you can't just simply say that the justification for a voter ID is invalid because it might disproportionately harm minority or, you know, persons who are poor, those voters. What the court said in that case, however, and so even though they allowed that, you know, voter ID to go forward, one of the things they did indicate by three of the moderate justices who might be able to pull a block with the more liberal justices was that the outcome might be different in another voting rights case if you could show that there were rights that could be violated. And here you clearly had this issue because the absentee ballots went out and it didn't have the voter ID requirement. In essence, when the Seventh Circuit came in and said we're going to allow the voter ID law to go forward, it created confusion in the run-up to the election. Now what are you going to do? State officials, your state officials had indicated that if you didn't provide the proof of your voter identification and you'd already sent in your absentee ballot, you were going to have to provide that or else your vote would not count. And so in the face of that, the Supreme Court just has basically said, hold on, not so fast. There will be time enough to consider this when we look at it. And I think they're most definitely going to look at it. I think they're going to consolidate a bunch of the cases out there around the country and look hard and long at these cases. When we look at it, we're going to look more closely at the interests that are put forward by the state and the interests by the persons that are being put forward claiming that they're going to be disenfranchised.
Now, you'd mentioned that case in Indiana. That's the one that the Supreme Court had decided. And the appeals court, in looking at the Wisconsin case, cited that as saying, hey, the Supreme Court has decided this, so lower court justices, you can't correct the Supreme Court. This is a done deal. But because the Supreme Court, you're saying, left open that window, you could prove harm, that's something they
might
consider again.
And basically, it's the difference between a law on its face and a law as applied. I'm going to turn you now to the Texas case. So in the Texas case, you got to get a voter identification. Texas has claimed concerns about voter fraud. Although one of the things that's going to be really interesting in all of these cases is the extent to which the state can actually show voter fraud. That's going to be very important. But what convinced the federal district judge down here to stay the Texas case was because, sure, getting the voter ID itself was free, but in order to get the voter identification, you had to provide certain documents. Those documents could include a birth certificate, they could include other things, but that created a minimal cost, anywhere from $3 to $22, depending on the kind of documentation you provided. And because you had to pay a fee for that, it created a concern that this is, in essence, a de facto poll tax. You are charging, you know, groups for this identification. And remember, the poll taxes, before they were abolished and declared illegal in the 1960s, ran about like $1.50 that you had to pay in order to be able to vote. And so our federal judge down here struck down the Texas law because of the costs associated with getting the documents to get the voter ID.
Is that going to be peculiar to Texas, or is that similar enough to other voter ID laws that could go to the Supreme Court and ultimately derail voter ID nationwide?
I think that you have a multiplicity of issues that are going to be involved in a number of these voter ID cases, and also just in general in voting restriction cases. Remember that in Ohio and North Carolina, we've also had appeals courts block, or they basically restored some voting restrictions, but those were a little different. That was Ohio early voting, and in North Carolina, it involved same-day registration. So what the critical concern is going to be for the court in consolidating all of these cases is, what standard do we use for evaluating the state's interest in trying to implement restrictive provisions? Keep in mind, there have been series of other cases where the Supreme Court has said, federal government, you don't get to just come in and say, because, say, for example, Texas discriminated 40 years ago, you get to approve every plan that comes down out of the state of Texas. So they've made it easier for the states to be able to place restriction on voting rights. I would suggest that what's really happening here is that the court is a little bit divided about, okay, just because we said the federal government couldn't regulate so heavily the states in terms of voting rights, that doesn't mean it's like open season for the states to be able to enact whatever restrictions they want to. In short, it's a new day in the Supreme Court because of the decisions giving the states greater freedom to enact voting restrictions, and now the court is wanting to weigh in and do so slowly and do so carefully.
Kimmy, thanks as always for being with us today.
You betcha. You take care. Support public radio, folks.
Thanks.
Bye.
We've been speaking with Central Time legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King of the University of North Texas about last night's decision by the Supreme Court to block Wisconsin's voter ID law for this upcoming election in November. Also last night, a federal judge overturned Texas's voter ID law.
Coming up next, we'll talk with a Wisconsin mother of two about the fascinating things she and her family learned when they took up backyard beekeeping this past spring. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Veronica Rickard here with Rob Ferret. Listeners like you are such an important source of WPR's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of time, and it keeps this program going strong. You heard Kimmy King. Take a moment right now to invest in your future listening by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great news to report. We are now five pledges away from, no, over our goal for the hour. That is so wonderful to see. But we're still looking for your financial support for Wisconsin Public Radio. You can keep this pledge drive momentum going strong this hour. And here's a little extra reason to become a member now.
That's right. Give any amount at all, and you're entered to win two tickets for a drawing on a WPR trip. You'd get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, this issue of the voter ID law in Wisconsin has been one we've been tracking for a long time on Central Time, a lot of it with our legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King, as it sort of ping-pongs around the various stages, and it's so important to keep track of that. And it's an example of what Central Time does for you. We help you keep track of things, make sense of them, understand and digest them, and maybe get an idea about what might happen next. It's an example of what you support when you support Wisconsin Public Radio and Central Time.
I love this kind of interview we do. I kind of think of it as an explainer. It takes a complicated issue, whether we're talking about something in the courts or the economy or international affairs, breaking down what, not just what happened, but what it means and what the future might hold, what the different paths are going forward. And it's your support that makes these kind of conversations possible every day here on Central Time. Give a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, you can get a collection of hand-picked recipes from our Food Friday segment when you make a contribution of any amount. That's our thank you gift to you for your pledge. Your donation supports the programs that you count on, and you can also get this great collection of recipes. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Marcy from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. First of all, the word obsessed has been used with public radio. I've been listening to nothing but public radio for probably upwards of 20-some years. When I made a transition moving back to Wisconsin after being gone for 20-some years, it was a great way for me to sort of get back to what was going on, feeling involved. It was a great connection, and I think that's probably the word that I think of the most. I feel very connected when I'm listening to public radio. I'm a sustaining member because I don't have to think about it. Well, first of all, it's so easy. I don't have to do anything. I wish all my bills could just magically be paid that way. And although it's not a bill for what it gives back to me, it is something that I'm willing to pay for. It enriches my life. It's invaluable to me, so I'm happy to give back.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Rob Ferret. We're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe $100 a month feels right to you, We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of $100 a month or more. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for the station, and 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Mary from Lake Nabagaman. She says, I listen to and enjoy WPR. I almost never listen without returning home to tell my husband an interesting and informative piece of information which I'd heard on WPR. You know, we hear that a lot about families, that WPR brings them closer together. Children and parents listen together before school on the weekends, using WPR as a jumping off point for conversations as spouses like Mary and her husband get together at the end of the day and talk about what they heard on WPR.
Listening to WPR can be a point of connection between you and your loved ones. Your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps that connection going strong.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We are 7 pledges over our goal. Let's see how far we can get in just the next couple of minutes.
And when you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. A pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy European towns along the Rhine River. Maybe you'd like to explore Alaska or finally see France.
Make that donation now. Get entered into the drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, with a pledge of any amount, ask for your copy of Central Times Food Friday Recipes. There's some good stuff here. 6 different recipes from guests and our coworkers, our more food aficionado type coworkers. Some examples of the recipes here. Anna Thomas Bates, who joins us from time to time on Food Friday, she, among other things, is at tallgrasskitchen.com, sent us an amazing looking lamb recipe if you want to get fancy for a dinner this fall. Baharat spiced lamb gozleem. And forgive the pronunciation, I'm guessing, on all of that. But I've read through the ingredients. It looks fantastic. And Robin Asbell, she wrote a book called Juice It. We talked to her about juicing and smoothie making. Pear chai is the recipe she sent us for this thank you gift. I haven't tried making it yet, but it looks fantastic. As always, I'll leave out the cinnamon on this one, though, Veronica.
It sounds delicious.
It looks
though,
really good,
I have
yeah.
to say. Well, the beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you decide how much to give, because how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you do give.
Since contributing is your choice and because WPR is something you value, you'll probably find that donating feels good. Find out right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A lot of new members will start with $5 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you.
The important thing to do, though, is to step up and voice your support of Wisconsin Public Radio in the form of a pledge, because you listen, because Wisconsin Public Radio enriches your life and adds to these conversations among your family, your loved ones, your spouse, and your community. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.